Welcome to a special prospect interview here on the No Ceilings NBA YouTube channel and podcast feed. I'm Maxwell Baumbach, and today I am joined by Wesley Cardat. Wesley, how are you doing today?
Doing great today.
Good. I'm glad we were able to make this work. I actually got to talk to you before the season started during my No Stone Unturned series covering Under the Radar players, and you really did a heck of a job getting yourself just further on that radar this season. You had an awesome year. For people who are not familiar with your game or who haven't seen you play before, how would you describe your game and your style of play?
To describe my game, you know, I'm a 6'6 lead guard. You know, I could play on and off the ball. You know, I'm very good at making decisions for my teammates, getting off good shots, and, you know, being that defensive intensity guy for my team. Lead the charge.
Absolutely. I think that's a nail on the head. You know, I'm from the Chicagoland area, so I'm always kind of biased rooting for my teams here. So to see kind of the turnaround, the success that you were part of at Chicago State was really exciting for me just as an onlooker. But I always kind of like to start at the very beginning. When you were a kid and you were growing up, what was the thing that got you into basketball and gotten you, you know, to pursue it at this sort of a level and intensity?
Actually didn't start off playing basketball.
Okay.
You know, I was just playing sports. But then I met my stepdad. You know, he was really into basketball. And then, like, being around him, I just was around basketball all the time. He started training me. And then the more I just started playing basketball and learning about it, the more I started falling in love with it.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. I feel like for a lot of people, it is kind of the family situation that initially gets those gears turning. You were pretty highly touted coming out of high school. You were RSCI, a top 100 prospect in your class.
Yes, sir.
What was it like to get that acclaim, but then also sort of deal with the pressure that comes along with that and having so many eyes on you and expectations set for you by people on the outside?
No, it definitely was a lot. You know, people giving their opinions of what you should and shouldn't do. You know, me, I just stayed grounded with my team and just stay focused and just try to keep working and getting better every day, because I knew that ultimately me getting better and working hard was going to lead me to the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really important, kind of no matter where you are in your journey in any walk of life, to keep that sort of mindset. But I think it's important for young players, because I think a lot of guys, it can be hard to block out the noise. You had a lot of like offers from high major colleges. You ended up going to Samford for your rookie season. What was it that made you say, you know, this is the best choice for me? Where I think a lot of times we see guys that get kind of stars in their eyes. They see, you know, big programs offering them a scholarship. Maybe it's not the right fit. Maybe they don't see the floor a whole lot their freshman season, and they kind of end up regretting it. Like, what made you feel comfortable making that decision?
So my uncle, which was the head coach at Chicago State when I was there, he was actually the assistant coach over there. You know, I know that me being with him, that, you know, he was going to focus on me getting better and progressing throughout my college career. So that was the main reason I went there my freshman year.
Mm-hmm. And I believe he took the Chicago State position before you were even on campus, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he was at Chicago State. So after your freshman year, you transferred over there. It's important to like set context of Chicago State for people that don't know. So Chicago State, independent program. They're one of the, this last season, they were the only program in NCAA Division I that was not in a conference. So because of that, it's really difficult. You have to schedule all these games kind of haphazardly. You're on the road a ton. You're playing a lot of games in a much shorter period of time than most schools. And then you've got these long layoffs because teams aren't looking to schedule non-conference games during the conference part of the season. What was that like for you? And what did you kind of learn and get out of that experience of having to play on the road so much and having to fight such kind of an uphill battle throughout the year?
No, it was definitely a great experience. I took joy in it, you know, playing teams from every conference. You know, it taught me to I'll say better, take care of my body better, because, you know, we had like short span games. Like we would have a game one day and play the next day, like travel. So it would be crazy. So it just taught me how to, you know, deal with obstacles like that.
But yeah,
definitely it's interesting.
For sure. In what do you feel like? I mean, a lot of people talk about like, I learned this from my failures. I think there's things to learn from successes too. And looking at Chicago State, it had been over a decade since they had back-to-back 10-plus win seasons there, and you guys did that.
Yeah.
And it was much harder to do it under this format than previously when they were in a conference. And then, of course, this year you guys had a big win over a ranked Northwestern team. You got 30 points in a win over a ranked Northwestern team. What did that do for you? Whether it was from a mentality standpoint, from a team standpoint, whatever. Like getting that sort of a big win and achieving success at a program I hadn't really seen in a long time, and especially under those circumstances. What did that mean to you?
It meant a lot. You know, I feel like a lot of people would see our school and be like, well, they can't possibly do something like beat a ranked team. So us doing that and proving people wrong, you know, shows that the work we put in came to light. You know, I was proud of myself and my team and all the coaches that pushed us.
Mm-hmm. And how do you, I guess, like keep your mentality right when you're playing that kind of a schedule? Like, is it, do you just sort of get used to it during the course of the year? Like, how do you manage to keep like getting up for game after game when it is like, bam, turnaround, travel, game, turnaround, travel, game?
It is definitely is a lot of adversity. I would say for me, it does take a lot of mental preparation going into every game, because every game your body's not going to be there, or your mental, but you just got to tell yourself to keep going. That's the main thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's in some ways helped you for like the next level of basketball, when you get to the NBA and whatever, and it's just like, hey, we got to play back to back.
I definitely think it helped my mental toughness and to be able to play through even when I don't feel like playing at the moment, just to be able to still have that like inner fight to still go out there and play.
For sure. And I think something else that you deserve a lot of credit for was your physical improvements. So when we talked in the off season, one of the things that you mentioned was that you were putting in a lot of work on your fitness, and just like physically looking at you on the court this year, I thought you looked like a different guy. You looked leaner, you were faster, you were twitchier. You seemed to have more stamina, like you were holding up really well late in games. Can you just talk a little bit about that physical transformation and then how that helped you on the court?
It definitely was a lot of, you know, naturally in the college schedule, you have practice, weights, you know, like regular schedule. But for me, I like to put in like the extra work to help, you know, build on stuff that I feel like will help me a lot. And even getting in the gym with coaches, you know, doing that really, really helps college players. Putting in that extra work takes you far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And was it sort of like one thing or another that you really honed in on to make that leap? Was it like mostly a diet thing? Was it an exercise thing? Like, what was it that kind of took it to the next level? Or was it just like, I'm honing in on all of it?
Yeah, I feel like it was more of an all around thing, you know, trying to eat better, trying to get more sleep, do your work on time and get extra workouts in. It was definitely an all around thing.
Mm-hmm. So one area of your game that has seen like really steady improvement over the years has been your shooting. Your freshman season of college, you were kind of a below average shooter. You got it up to like an average point last year. And then your numbers this year, I actually think the deeper you look into them are quite impressive. Your percentage stayed the same, but you actually took more threes, like quite a few more threes per game. So the volume was better, which is a great indicator. But also your percentage on unguarded looks, like teams cannot leave you open
anymore.
Looking at the synergy numbers, you were 52% on unguarded threes this year. That's crazy. And you didn't get a lot of them because teams know now that you're like an actual shooter. And you have this great pull-up game. How did you go from sort of like, was your freshman year sort of a down year, or was this just something that you've put in a lot of work to get to this point?
I definitely was. Have to respect you beyond that. I feel like each year has been a building block for me in my college career. I take what people tell me about my game and just try to build on it and learn as much as possible from just from people around me. That definitely helped.
And with the shot, was it more of a confidence thing, or were there mechanical adjustments that you made?
I definitely had to make some mechanical adjustments after my freshman year. Mm-hmm. I feel like after my sophomore year, it was more of a confidence thing, you know, being confident in my shot. So, yeah.
Yeah, the work that you put in there is really cool to see. You're also a guy who gets to the rim a lot. Like, you have a really nice handle for a guy your size, and you can use that to finish. But I think what is most intriguing to me is how you use that to suck in the defense, make everybody kind of pack the paint, respect the fact that you're driving, and then find open teammates. Being 6'6", with, you know, long arms, that's kind of a standout skill set that differentiates you from a lot of guys.
Yeah.
where did the guard skills come from? Is a question I always like to kind of ask guys who are taller and sort of have that passing bag. Like, is that something that did you grow up playing the guard position? Did you grow late? Or is it just something that you've always sort of put the work into?
I'll definitely say it takes a lot of reps to get used to playing that position at a taller size. My stepdad had me trying to play like the point guard since I was young. I feel like at Chicago State, my first year, I started to get more comfortable with it. And by the time I was a junior, I became real comfortable at being on the ball, learning how to control the team, control the pace of play for the team, and making the right decisions as a big guard on the ball.
Also. For sure. Yeah. And you reduced your turnover rate this year, which was great to see. Mm-hmm. And you were getting to the line a ton. Can you just talk about your mentality when you're attacking the basket and your toughness? Cause I think it's something that I do a lot of data work and just guys getting to the free throw line a lot. It's a skill. It's a skill. And it's something that you tend to see in guys that have success in the NBA is that get to the foul line a lot in college. Mm-hmm. How have you sort of developed that toughness and willingness to just get to the rack and deal with contact on the way?
I feel like that's always been something special about me that I've always been able to do is get to the free throw line a lot. I feel like these past 2 years, I've been topping the country at doing this. So it's more of I think it's a mental thing of just telling myself that nobody's going to be able to stop me from getting in the paint. So, yeah.
Yeah, it shows. It's really, really a cool part of your game. And then defensively, one thing that stood out, and I, again, this is one of those things I talked about before this last season, for a guy who has the usage rate that you do, where you're, you know, heavy offensive role, you're creating, you're shooting, you're scoring, you're setting the table, you're doing all these things on offense. I was always really impressed by the intensity that you played with on defense. Mm-hmm. How have you developed that side of your game? And then what did that extra like fitness sleep that you took this offseason do for your defense as well this year? Because I thought you were even better.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I've always had that defensive mindset coming into college. I feel like as I went to Chicago State, knowing my role was going to be going to be on more so both sides, a lot of energy. My coach really was on me about my conditioning. Mm-hmm. So I really had to focus on that, work on my conditioning so I could be able to play, you know, hard on both sides of the floor.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I thought you did a really nice job of that. Currently where you're at, you are testing the NBA draft waters at the moment. As you were going through this pre-draft process, what have been the biggest things that you've worked on in improving your game or just honing in on, or that you maybe want to show people that you didn't get to show or whatever kind of as you go through this part of your basketball journey?
I feel like right now the main thing I'm working on is getting my shot off as fast as I can. Just working on being efficient with my shooting. It's just really honing in on my skills. I feel like I have the basics down. It's just being as efficient as I could be.
Excellent. Love to hear that. And then if you do decide to return to school, you did commit to Providence for next season. Yes, so what was it that kind of drew you to Providence? It's a school that's had a lot of success over the last few years. What was it that kind of made you say, hey, this is where I want to be if I do continue my journey in college?
Really their belief in me, their vision for me, how good they could see me being for them and in the future. I feel like there's a lot of love for me over there and that I can grow and become the player I want to be over there. With Coach Kim English.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you look at what Devin Carter did. Yeah. You know, year two to year three this last year, they get guys better. They get guys better for sure. For people who are following along with your journey and they want to follow you on social media and kind of keep up to date with what you're doing and what you're going to decide to do in the coming months as you go through this process, where can they follow along with you?
You could definitely follow me on Instagram at _wesley.cardet_.
Excellent. Sounds good. Well, go give Wesley a follow. We appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Wishing you best of luck throughout this pre-draft process in these coming months.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you everyone for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to the No Ceilings NBA YouTube channel and podcast feed. Have a great rest of your day.